Hello and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in today as we go live to Hope City, Sheffield. We pray that this message inspires, encourages, and builds your faith as you listen. Enjoy the message.
Just keep standing for a moment. We're going to pray. Who is believing that we're not just going to play church this morning, but that God wants to speak into our spirits? So just lift your hands to God right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you that where two or three are gathered, there you are, right in the midst of us. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for each of our lives and for our life as a church. You have much more. Lord God, you have much more to give us. You have further ground for us to take. You have a word to speak into our hearts. And Father, I pray today that we would not be those that are not perceptive to the voice of the Spirit. But God, today we would be a people whose hearts are open for you to take hold of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. As you take your seats, poke your neighbor, make sure they're awake. Amen. So Pastor Dave is speaking in Loughborough this morning. Dave and I spoke in a church conference in Loughborough yesterday, and it was literally a fire pit. Oh my goodness, full of young adults. It was amazing. And then Pastor Lois is speaking in Leeds today. So it's wonderful when we're one church all over the place, aren't we? And we can just cross-pollinate. So I just want to lull you into a false sense of security just for a moment. Okay, because I have a word in my spirit this morning, and it's going to mean a lot of different things to different people, but one thing I do know it is definitely a prophetic message this morning to the spirit of our age, and I can almost feel this morning the spirit, the principalities of the powers going, Jen, don't preach it. Well, I'm sorry, I am. For some of us this morning, it will be a redefinition of a season. It will be an understanding of a season in your life. And for others this morning, it will be a challenge. Now, like I said, I am known as an iron fist in a velvet glove. And I want you to understand this morning that the velvet's off. I really have a word in season in my heart, and God's been really speaking to me. And I just know God is going to touch us and move us as a house. Is anybody ready for God to move you? Because I don't want to sit and stay the same. I want God to touch my life, hello, and be continually changing me. Amen? So are you ready, church? So trends are a very interesting thing. I had a mullet perm in the 80s. And that should never be brought back to the table. It really shouldn't. And it's interesting, when I was a young woman, it was trendy if you wanted to get fit and not fit in what people call fit today, fit as in bodily healthy. You used to go fit, you'd go and put your runners on and you'd go out for a run. But there's been a change. And so now when I'm in the gym, obviously because I can't run anymore because I have artificial hips and I have to do other things, but the young men in there are not running. They have developed bodies that look like triangles because all they do is lift weights and they have no legs. And you want to go into the, I call it the meat section. You want to go in there and say to the young men, it would be worthwhile doing something with those legs because you have to walk on them for the rest of your life. And they look like they're going to topple over. They're like triangles. It's fads. Fads come and fads go. Maybe soon it'll be all legs and they'll be walking around with these insipid little top halves. Who knows? But I've been around a long time. I've been in the ministry now for 34 years. And I've watched fads come and fads go. And trends come into church and trends go. Dave used to wear a suit and a tie and stand on the stage looking like he was being choked. And, you know, trends come and trends go, and some trends are good and some trends are bad. And I commented to Dave just recently, I said, Dave, in 34 years of ministry, I have never seen what I'm seeing right now. And there's almost like a wave that's come across the world that tries to leak its way into the house of God. And there's one thing that we need to do as God's people. We are not called to mimic the world. Hello, anybody out there? We are called to be salt and light and different and a flavor that's attractive. And there is a level of consumerism and self-absorption in the world that I have never seen before. And it makes its way into our lives and it makes its way into the church. And it's just not a pretty thing. It's like a slow drip. And it's become about the cult of the hero and not about the cult of the hero. It's become about the person that's on the platform and not about the normal Christian that's in the fifth row who's living absolutely beautifully and dramatically for God. It's become about things that aren't important. I want kindness to be cool again. I want generosity, like putting food for people in a hamper, to be cool again. I want the fact that you represent Jesus beautifully in your workplace to be cool again. Is anybody with me this morning? I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about the people that I meet each day of the week and that I'm sharing Jesus constantly with. Come on, church. It's not about us. It's about a world. I know I harp on about it, but this is the gospel. It's about a world that doesn't know him. It also has become about when we don't see immediate microwave answers in our hands, we create counterfeits in our lives and we create counterfeits in our community and altars that don't resemble the real God in delay. We can become experts in creating good. It's gone so quiet in here. So quiet. You go, Jen, you're reading my mail. Sorry. No, not sorry. We become experts in creating something that looks good when we're waiting for God. And we create counterfeits in delay. But counterfeits are meant to be able to be played off as truth. But counterfeits are not truth and counterfeits are not valuable. And for the very first time in my adult life this morning, I've never preached from this passage in the Bible ever before. I'm going to preach to you this morning from the story of the golden calf. Turn to your neighbor this morning, say, buckle up. Buckle up. She's going to talk to me. I'm not going to like it, but I'm going to take it. Okay? Buckle up strong, church. So we go this morning to the story of Moses. And he was up on a mountain. And the children of Israel were at the bottom of the mountain. And Moses was a long time coming. And this is what happened. It's interesting though. Let's just go back a little bit. The children of Israel had been mightily delivered by God. They had seen stuff. They had seen water stand up as a wall. They had walked through on dry ground. Listen, it would take weeks for it to dry under an ocean. They walked through on dry ground. This is a miracle. As soon as the water stood up, they watched the Egyptians drown as God brought the water back over. They watched a mighty hand of deliverance. And then their leader, Moses, disappeared for a little while. And this is what happened. Are you ready? It says in Exodus 32, verse 1, when Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, let us make gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. And then in verse 4, it says, he took what they had handed him and made it into an idol, cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. And then they said, these are your gods, Israel. No, they weren't. These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. Egypt. They were basically saying, let's create a coping mechanism that doesn't demand that we hold on to faith and vision and trust in the promises of God. Hello? Yeah. Sorry. They built an altar around a feeling. And this generation has built a very large altar around a feeling. And we, as Christians, mimic the world and build an altar around a feeling instead of an altar around vision and purpose and faith and promise. And then we start to grumble and say, God, you're not coming through for me yet, therefore I just might pop out a calf. They built an altar around an experience, and they built an altar around delay. It was not faith. It was frustration dressed up as a trendy solution. Am I talking to anyone this morning? It no longer became about where they were going or where God was taking them. It was no longer remembering the great victories that God had wrought for them or the great redemption purchased for their souls. Hold on a minute. If we never had anything else ever in our lives, if God never popped candy out of heaven for us, if Santa Claus never gave us the prayer list, and all he ever gave us was the redemption of our souls, hello, would that not be enough for us? That he had purchased us so mightily. It was no longer about where they were intending on going or leading others. It became about a feeling and not about faith. And then they turned a feeling into a festival. I was in Matalan the other day, as you do, and I'm going past the, and I said this rather loud and maybe not, maybe too loudly. But I went past a T-shirt, and on the T-shirt it went, self-love. And I went quite loudly, no thank you. And this is what the children of Israel did. They had a T-shirt. They turned it into a jamboree. And then they turned the self-love festival and they developed a collective. And it was all gathered around delay. Because they didn't choose to keep their eye on what God had promised. They didn't keep to choose their hindsight vision on the mighty victories that God had brought and their foresight vision on the faith that was in their spirit. Because my Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and it's the evidence of things not seen. And you are a mighty Christian when you have not yet seen what the dream is in your spirit. And I would encourage you, church, it's time again for us, Hope City Church, to gain a hold of the unseen world and to be a people that believe for the unseen to come into the natural in Jesus' name. It says in Exodus 32 verse 5, it says, he built an altar in front of a calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. But this wasn't a festival to the Lord. He said he built a calf and then he said, tomorrow will be a festival to the Lord. It was a festival to an idol that had been created out of a feeling. And our whole world is dancing around that campfire right now. And I would suggest that we as God's people are not those that are meant to hold back and dance around a feeling and an experience that does not speak truth and does not speak promise over our lives in Jesus' name. It was a mistake. It was a festival celebrating a worthless counterfeit copy created in delay. Delay is not the moment to be creating a festival celebrating humanity. But delay was really about holding on to the original promise, holding on to vision. It made it look like the golden calf was holy, but it wasn't. I find Aaron hilarious, and I'll just paint this picture first. You know when your two-year-old child has found the chocolate cupboard? And the chocolate is all over their face and hands, and down their shirt, over the cream sofa, trodden into the shag rug. And you say, have you been eating chocolate? And your toddler says to you, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. Who was it then? I remember saying to my son when he's little, who was it then? I don't know. And there's this script, this amazing scripture, like just made me chuckle, you know. When you read a Bible, you can have a laugh at times. Exodus 32, verse 24. And this was Aaron. So I told them, the people of Israel, whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off. This is Aaron speaking to Moses. Then they gave me the gold. I threw it in the fire, and out came a calf. It just popped. Out popped a calf out of the fire. No, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. I didn't shape the calf or make a mold for it. Like, let's do the law of physics. If a gold goes in a fire, it's not going to be. In actual fact, I've just had a wonderful thought. I wonder who was in the meeting deciding what the idol would look like. Why did they not go for a pig? Or they were Jewish, that's why. Just thinking on the go there. Why did they not create a horse or a goat or a castle? No, they went for a calf. Wouldn't you love to have been in that planning meeting? But this was the deception of Aaron's heart in delay. And he developed a collective and a movement and a counterfeit. We don't want subtle shifts in our heart to develop into a movement that sidetracks our lives from God's ultimate purpose. Hope City Church, we don't want subtle shifts in our heart to develop into a movement that sidetracks us from the vision that God has for us and has for our house. Is anybody with me this morning? If I do anything today, I want to pull you back in your spirit to what God has said. I want to pull you back in your spirit this morning to what is the dream of God for your life. I want to pull you back this morning to center that just because there is delay, hold on, because my God always finishes what he started. My Bible says that he who began a good work in you will carry it on until completion. He's not gone off the job. Listen, he's not gone off the job like the builders, Sawpoint, like the builders in my house that said they were going to build that conservatory and 1 week and 3.5 weeks later, we don't even have a floor. I just cleansed my spirit. It says in Exodus 32, verse 25, and so they became a laughing stock for their enemies. We become a laughing stock when we allow the enemy to deviate our lives from purpose and vision. The enemy of our souls and the enemy of the church laughs when we develop a system in delay that is powerless and deceptive and mimics the world around us. I warned you at the beginning that today was not fluffy Sunday. The delay was about the refinement of vision and not the opportunity to make a movement out of criticism and cynicism. I don't want to buy into the spirit of the age. Church, come on. We don't want to buy into the spirit of the age that massages our feelings. But we want to be a people whose feelings take a back seat to the spirit of faith. The spirit that says, however long I have to wait, however long I have to wait, however long I have to wait. I'm just going to say it until somebody agrees. However long I have to wait, however long I have to wait, I am going to hold on to the promise of God until I see the fulfillment of what God has promised in my life. I feel like sitting on the step. This could be interesting. I'll go so I can get straight back up on these hips. Selah. How are we massaging our feelings in delay? campfires do we create? Bring out the marshmallows. Kumbaya. When God wants to do something epic with your life, we don't want to create a counterfeit that aborts the purpose of God, church. Amen. I don't want my life to reflect the trend of an age. I want my life to reflect the one who never changes. The word that always remains the same. The word that saved me at 7 years old. The word that brought me to the UK in 1991 at 25 years old. The word that still sustains Dave and I and the dream that's in our spirit. God's promise will come about. So then what happened next? In Exodus 33 verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I like to call this the second Exodus. You got the hell out of there, excuse my French, but hell is a word in the Bible, so I'm allowed to use it. You got the hell out of there, and you need to stay the hell out of there. What is the lure of the go back? It says, leave this place. Go into the promise that is before them. You got to leave the place of doubt, the place of human invention, and lean back into the promise. Lean back into vision and not be ensnared by a counterfeit in delay. Yesterday, just yesterday, let me paint this story for you again. I know you heard it many times and this will be the last time you hear it, but this is a great victory. For 14 years, we've been sued for £535,000 over a property we bought in Cyprus. Long story short, sued, planting churches while we were sued, all these years. 7 years ago, I got a promise when I was reading Job. It's very quiet. You read Job more often than I do. And the promise I got 7 years ago was, you will count your property and find nothing missing. And then the next verse says, take this and apply it to your life. I'm like, that is my verse. For 7 years, I've been declaring this. We thought it was over 2 months ago, and then 2 weeks ago, we had another barb thrown at us. Yesterday afternoon, or Friday afternoon, actually, I had an email. It says, your case has been settled. Yeah. 7 years, 14 in total. You've got to hold on to the promise of God. You've got to believe that injustice will shut its mouth over your life because that's the promise of God for you. You've got to believe and hold on to God when all hell is breaking loose because my God never fails. Don't walk out of the door of the church in your delay. Hold on, front row and central. And then it says, now take off your ornaments. And I will decide, I love this scripture, I will decide what to do with you. It's like what your mum used to say. When I get you home, I will decide. I don't know what were they going to do with you? I really don't know. I think the reason mothers say that is because they don't really know what they're going to do with you. And they want to create a little window of opportunity to think about all the things they could do to you. And then by the time they're home, the temper has mellowed slightly and they don't do much. Well, that's another sermon. And so then it said, so the Israelites stripped off their ornaments. What are our ornaments, church? What are the things that we need to strip off our life in order to hang on to purpose and vision? For some of us, it's the ornament of ease. Shall I say these behind the pulpit so you can't see me? For some of us, it's the ornament of debate and discussion. There's nothing more exciting than discussing how bad your pastors are. For some of us, it's the ornament of me and my life first. Oh, Jen, jabbing me on a Sunday morning. It's a nice rainy day. I could have stayed in bed. For some of us, it's the ornament of creating something you can see when you can't see while you're waiting. We were designed, as I said before, to live in the realm of the unseen. So when their people laid down their counterfeit gods and they laid down the strategies of coping without God's permission, they met a God who fully intended and always has fully intended to outroll his purpose for your life. Don't you love, well, maybe you don't, but I'm assuming you do love reading scripture. And I read further on about what happened then, and it went into a chapter in the Bible that is one of my favorite chapters. And it's when Moses cried out to God again after all this had happened. It says in Exodus 33, verse 13 to 18, and if you've never read this passage, go home and read it. He says, "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." And the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, we cannot go up from here." I love just that line in that scripture says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Because what we love to do is create rest for ourselves. We want to abort the vision and the plan of God and the purpose of God because we want to create a counterfeit of rest. When real rest comes when we've fulfilled a purpose so holy and so magnificent that when we sit and rest, it's something incredible because we know we have wrought great victories for God. This was Moses crying out again, not for a counterfeit, not for milling around in the desert, but again in vision. And he was redefining and rewriting again vision for lives and houses. Now, the other reason I really love Moses is because when he came down and he saw the calf that popped out of the fire and Aaron with the chocolate all over his face, he had these tablets in his hand that he'd written on from God up on the mountain. And Mo did what you and I would do. He smashed them to pieces in anger. "I hate you people." "Oh, you're looking at me like you don't do that. Don't. Don't even you dare." But then God smoked. I haven't never read that myself. God spoke. And the Lord said to Moses, "Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablet. No two pieces of stone are ever exactly the same." Let me say that again. No two pieces of stone were ever exactly the same, but the vision was. And sometimes when we've been in delay and things don't turn out exactly as we planned them, or even as we thought God planned them, we think God has changed his mind for his purpose on our lives. But he hasn't changed his mind as to the purpose. He's rewriting again today the vision on your hearts on stones and buildings and things that look a little bit different to what you thought it would look like. But the vision for your life and the vision for this house has not changed. It remains the same. And God wants to come again this morning and rewrite upon our hearts the same vision, the same promise. It may not look like you thought it was going to look. The delay has refashioned the housing of the vision, but the vision remains the same. It may not look the same, but the vision remains the same. The DNA was the same as the first. And God allowed Moses to write again. And God again today writes upon the tablets of our hearts the vision over our lives and over the church that will not be muddied by self-effort and self-admiration and will not be muddied by the disrespect of the age that microwaves things into a manufactured process and bypasses God. I wonder if we could have the band back, please. They gave me about 2 hours to speak this morning, and I tell you everything I know in about 30. I was joking in Loughborough yesterday that when you ask the band to move, the time they take to get up on this stage, you probably could have had a shower. Put your makeup on, eating dinner. Thanks, guys. Maybe a couple of singers could just like come whenever you feel like it as well. I want to speak over your spirits this morning, church, that the delay is by design. The delay that you have experienced, delay is not denial. Delay is by design. The truth and the vision of God over our lives and our church remains the same. God is not a product. And God doesn't want our relationship with immediacy to hijack the God process. Our age says if you don't have it now and you don't have it your way, it's over, baby. We don't work like that. Some of the best things that God has ever honed in my life have been honed through time. I'm depressing people that are 20 now because you think that old bird up there is 53. You don't get anointing out of a cornflakes box. You get anointing by holding on to God in delay and refusing to let go. And I'm like a Rottweiler with a bone between my teeth, church, this morning, for your life. I'm like a Rottweiler with a bone between my teeth to fight for you this morning as mama of this house. Don't be deceived by delay. Take it as a compliment that God has you this morning. And he wants to rewrite the same vision and the same purpose over your life and over your heart this morning. He is not short in fulfilling his promises. He's not. I tell you what, if I've learned anything from this last 14 years, I've learned, don't mess with me, devil. You trying to bring me down? I'll just stand on your head one more time and I'll get some stilettos while I'm at it. Will you stand with me, church, this morning? God wants to move us into our promise, but not by the strength of our own arm. I found myself back in the presence of God on my hands and my knees and my face on the floor. Again. You didn't catch that. Sorry, Siri. Does my voice really sound like Stu Otten's voice? That's the worry at this point. I lost my train of thought now. It's all right. I want my heart again to be visited and stirred by the scripture. If you seek me, you will find me. There's nothing like to delay to throw you into the presence of God. To be on your bed with your arms going, God, unless I know you, God, unless I know you, I am bankrupt. God, unless you move, I am bankrupt. It's so easy to massage delay with things and people and experiences when what delay is trying to do is to push you into the presence of God and say, God, I need to know you. God, I need you to strengthen me. God, I need to get a hold of the purpose and vision for my life that the enemy has tried to snatch away from me. And today I'm deciding in my spirit, I will not let go. I will not let go of the promise of God. I will not let go of the purpose of God. I will not even for a second let go of the destiny and the hand of God on my life. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Come on, church. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Yet will I hold on to him. I will not let go of that which God has promised over my life. Oh, I'm wearing myself out. This is today, Hope City, Sheffield. Our second exodus. It's our exodus out of malaise and out of deception and out of a massage of our feelings. And it's stepping back into the promise. And so we're going to respond to God this morning. And if you've come to see baptized, I've preached so many times in the last couple of months, I don't even know whether my name's Arthur or Martha. Huh? It's Jenny. Thanks, Ty. We're going to respond to God today. We're going to make a choice as a house and as individuals to step back into promise. For those of you that are a bit older, you're not dead yet. Until you're dead, you've got a purpose. For those that are a bit younger, don't waste your youth on nonsense. Do you know what a beautiful thing about being 53 is? You can pretty much say what you like. So I'm going to count to three and we're going to run to God right across the front this morning. And we're going to go, God, I am not listening to the lie of the enemy a moment longer. I'm stepping back into vision and purpose. One, two, three, right across the front. Come right now, right? Let's stand here. Let's get a hold of God this morning. Let's not allow delay to deny the purpose and the vision of God for our lives and hearts. Quick sticks.
We hope you've enjoyed our podcast today. If you have, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast right on our homepage so you can hear all the latest streams from Hope City Church. Why not head to our website at hopecity.church to keep up to date with all that's happening across Hope City.